Well, let's look at this passage of Scripture. I'm going to read these verses, and like I say, the only verse I want to preach on is verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, You are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I came from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I'm not judging anyone. Now, when it says I'm not judging anyone, it doesn't mean Jesus doesn't have an opinion about what's right and wrong, or he doesn't give. What he means is he came for salvation. Okay, and he certainly came for salvation, and that was his purpose. He's coming again in judgment. Verse 16. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it. But I am the Father who sent me. Even in your law, it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. So they were saying to him, Where is your Father? And Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. And these words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Now, as you read on in this chapter, and I'd encourage you to read on, it gets a little bit more heavy in here. Christ saying that he doesn't judge anyone here, but later on he lets them know that they're of their father, the devil. So, anyhow, we'll get into that, Lord willing, later on. Well, this is a remarkable statement that Jesus makes. I'm surprised at this passage of Scripture that the people around who were around him at that time, I'm surprised they were not more surprised that he would say it, that they did not make more of an uproar than they did or than what John recorded. But it's a pretty bold claim that Jesus makes. I am the light of the world. What does this mean? Well, we might understand something about the relationship between light and darkness. We've had songs about this as a congregation. And we've had a song that Melissa just sang to us about light and darkness. And so this is a common, ordinary image in the Bible. If we are to understand why Christ describes Himself as the light, we must presume that Jesus believed that the world itself was in darkness. And He has come now as light to the world. In Scripture, darkness is associated with sin, things to be ashamed of. Darkness is associated with whatever is opposed to God, things that are evil. It's opposed to ignorance, in other words, not having the truth, not believing upon God, not believing in God. That's what darkness is associated with. Light has to do with whatever is true knowledge, whatever is holy, whatever is good, whatever is righteous, the very character of God, visions relating to God. Think about Christ at the Transfiguration. You have all these images of light. Things that are open, things that are that not to be ashamed of, things that are noble, things that are good. Puritan John Brown writes, When Jesus calls Himself the light, He means that He, and He alone, is the light. And he makes the illustration that just as the sun, the physical created sun, shines upon this earth and nourishes it, so Christ is the light who shines into this world. And just as there is that one sun that affects this earth, Christ is that one light that speaks to this world. So in a general way, this means that Christ speaks or that He reveals truth. He is the infallible source of knowledge. He is the person who gives wisdom. He is without error. He is light. But there's also a sense in which Christ is the light as a Savior to the world. He's not simply light in the world. He is a Savior to the world. And by world we mean every nationality of people. Not every person would become a Christian, but every nationality of people. Not just the Jews to whom He spoke, but to every nationality, to all people and all races. Christ comes as light to the people in darkness, and the idea is that we are all in darkness. That we're all in sin, and we all need Christ as our Savior. In the Old Testament, this prophecy was given about Christ being a light to others. "I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles," was spoken to the Apostle Paul, "that you should bring salvation to the ends of the earth." Paul, speaking of himself and others who had become Christians, writes this, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." In other words, what he's saying is that my mind and my understanding was in darkness, and Christ has come as light to me to reveal Himself and to reveal my sin and to reveal Himself as God and to give me light and to make me His child. John writes, and we see this in what John records of Christ coming into this world, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Here John, at the beginning of his gospel, gives a summary statement about the ministry of Jesus. He says, Jesus has come into the world as light, and yet He came into the darkness, and the darkness did not understand Him. In other words, the world did not embrace Christ. There were many people who did become Christians, but in itself, there was not this profound, overwhelming embracing of Christ as the light. And then he goes on to say, "There was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man." So the world is in darkness in its sin, and Christ is the light. He is not a light. He is not one among many, but He is the light. And all who come to Christ receive the forgiveness of their sins. They are delivered from darkness into light, and they come to know and follow and belong to God, their Heavenly Father. That's a short version of what this means, as Christ is the light. Now, what kind of person can say this? What kind of person can make such a bold claim as this? I mean, think about it. If someone came up to you at work tomorrow and said this to you, you would be waiting for the punchline of the joke that you thought they were telling. Maybe you think they've been doing some drug or something. I don't know, but this isn't the only time Christ said things like this. Later on in chapter 9, we read He says, "While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." What kind of person would make such a claim? Someone insane? Someone conceited and prideful? We have examples of kings in the Old and New Testament, rulers, who God Himself says they think they're gods. And He visited them with His judgment. Maybe somebody today, a philosopher, someone highly educated, someone who's become very financially successful, although they don't say it out loud, but they almost see themselves as having godlike qualities. And they see themselves as light to enlighten the world in what is real and what is true and what is good and bad. But Christ was neither insane nor conceited or prideful. Even though His family and friends and the religious leaders treated Him this way. They did treat Him this way. So what does John tell us about Jesus before he makes this claim that He is the light of the world? What had Christ done? Well, He had publicly turned water to wine. He had seen many people come to conversion of Him in Samaria, a place where He would not normally be received. He had fed 5,000 people miraculously. He had healed a government official's son and a beggar. He had walked on water for His disciples, and He had publicly taught and outfoxed His enemies who were trying to beat Him in debate. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, equal to the Father, is the light of the world. Now, what does this mean by application? It means that there is a universal application to all people and all things. To all people and all things. There's a universal responsibility that all of us have and everyone has to believe upon Christ. That Jesus Christ is the light of the world is true for every university, every government, every country, every news organization, every religion, everyone and everything is to understand that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He is the truth, the source of all truth. To be apart from Him is to dwell in darkness. To be apart from Him is to not even understand this world as it is created. Everyone follows something or someone. Maybe they follow themselves. They look to themselves for light. They follow reason, philosophy, common sense, whatever is socially accepted, whatever the norm is in the culture in which they live. But Jesus is the light. On another occasion, He says, "For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, that darkness may not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light. I have come as light into the world, that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness." We are to believe on Christ, and in Christ we can also know where we are to go, how we are to live, how we are to think, the true way of blessing in Jesus Christ. All of us here this morning, we have a responsibility to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, to acknowledge Him as our Lord and Savior, and to believe in truth, to affirm our affirmation that He is the light of the world. The second application is that there is a universal darkness that helps explain the world in which we live. If the world is in darkness and without Christ, who is the truth of life, then it shouldn't be as any surprise to us when we see the evil and the problems of the world around us. Becoming a Christian doesn't eliminate trouble from our lives, but while many reject Jesus Christ in the world, it shows us the evidence of evil. In fact, Jesus uses the same image about light in another place. Listen to this. Just after John 3:16, He says this, "And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men have loved darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." People reject Jesus Christ because they don't want to acknowledge Him. They don't want that exposure of their sins. They don't want that exposure of their need of someone who would forgive them. Their need of someone whose righteousness would have to be substituted for theirs. They don't want to change their life. They don't want to change their values, their goals, and all these other things. Jesus says it's very easy to understand why people don't become Christians, because to do so has to expose their evil, has to expose their darkness and their sin. Secondly, Christ gives a beautiful promise here. Do you want the best possible life there is? Well, then understand what Jesus says in the last part of this verse. "He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." What does Christ mean to follow? What does it mean to follow the light? This following is, first of all, a continuous thing. Not just beginning the journey or wanting to do the journey, but it is an ongoing thing after a person comes to the light. And so this is what is important to remember. We think about people becoming Christians. People become Christians, and so what is their responsibility after they become Christians? Their responsibility is to follow Christ. Now, there are a lot of people in the world who make what are called a decision to Christ. They ask Jesus to come in their heart, and they never give Him another thought or anything else. That's not what He's talking about. Those, we have to say, are those who really do not belong to Him. That's what He says in Matthew chapter 7. They said, "Lord, Lord," but they have no part in Christ. Those who come to Christ, who believe upon Christ, we're to follow Christ. And so we don't just come to Him for our salvation, we follow Him as our Savior. That's what this verse is saying. The verse sometimes that we use to give us the assurance that our sins are forgiven. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who does He do that for? He does it for people who are serious about the Christian life. Two verses prior to that it says, "But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin." Cleansing, forgiveness, confession, all these things are a part of the Christian life. And actively following Jesus Christ is as well. Many commentators on this passage of Scripture make the point that the idea that Jesus is building upon here, when He talks about being light, is the pillar of fire that the Israelites followed in the wilderness. That they had to journey, and as they journeyed, they had this pillar of fire. They had light that they followed. They had the cloud by night. But anyway, God was their light to show them where to go. And the same image is that Jesus is our light to show us what we're to do, to show us what we're to believe, what we're to obey, to be like Him in our thinking and in our reasoning, to take seriously His commands to love one another, to deal with things in our lives. That's what it means. That's why when I picked up this book, I had to do some repentance in my own heart because I had an attitude issue. Okay? It reminds us of His humility, His self-sacrificial love. Christ is our light. We see Him, His sacrificial love, that it's not all about us being consumed with ourselves. His principled obedience, His conversations with people that were difficult and yet necessary. All these things. Christ is our light, following Him. And what it shows us is, and what's brought out in that book, and what's brought out in this book, and what's brought out in the testimony of the saints throughout history, is that doing those hard things are the way that blessing comes. What does it say about Jesus in Hebrews 12? Who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. If you would come after Me, let a man deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. No, following Christ is not always easy. Sometimes it's very hard, and in the hardness of it all, there is great blessing later. Why? Because Christ is the light. And so, He is our source of wisdom. We obey His commands. If you love Me, keep My commandments. He is that person that whose humility and love and whose perseverance, all these things we learn from. Walking in darkness, but having the light of life. This is the promise that God blesses us. That we have confidence while we're living. All around us, people are living in darkness. Running around blindly, following the wrong things, doing the wrong things, listening to the wrong advice, seeking the wrong goals, and doing all these things. And yet our lives have this beautiful promise that we can have confidence that we're doing the right thing, that we're believing the right thing, that we're going in the right direction, because Jesus Christ is our light. Well, I mentioned here that this is a beautiful promise, and I mentioned that Christ makes a bold claim. And I want to conclude by just saying that Christ has a beautiful and bold people. I started to say bold and beautiful, but then I figured everybody would be thinking about the soap opera. So anyway, we'll do beautiful and bold. I even went so far as to look it up on the internet yesterday to see if it was still on, and found out it's one of the longest running, so I guess that's wonderful. Anyway, not really. Christ has a beautiful and bold people. A beautiful people. Now, my experience with beautiful people, or your experience with beautiful people, may be beautiful people of Hollywood, or beautiful people with great looks and great bodies, and beautiful people with a bunch of money and a lot of fun and all that. But the beautiful people here are people who are sons and daughters who belong to Him. People whose sins have been forgiven. People whose righteousness covers them. People who have problems and issues and difficulties and all these things, and yet they're beautiful. Why? Because they're connected to Jesus Christ. And He actually puts that name upon us as His beautiful people. In Ephesians 5:8, you are the light of the Lord. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. He says that to us. The same word that's used to describe Jesus becomes the word that is used to describe you and me who believe upon Him. Colossians 1:12, saints in light, holy ones in light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, for you are sons of light and sons of the day. This is the designation that you and I have. You say, but I have so many problems. I have so many sins I have to deal with. I have so many, all this stuff, and I have so many concerns of my thinking and all that. That's okay. That's okay. That's true. But you see, your beauty is that beauty that Christ gives you. He's made you a son or daughter. He's dressed you in His righteousness. He's forgiven you of your sins. And yeah, you've got all that mess, and you're still dealing with it, and you've got to deal with it from now on until you go to glory. But you're right now. You have Him connected to you, and that's who you are. And He places a beautiful name upon you. And He calls you to live a bold life. Not a life that exalts you, but a bold life as light in the world. Jesus calls Himself light, and He said that's what you and I are to be. It's not something reserved for the elders. It's not something reserved for those who graduated from Bible. It's as though everybody who is a follower of Christ, everyone who has come to the light, are those and have the name of the children of light on them. They are those who are called to be light. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we're to be light. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Our light is to shine in this congregation, in our homes, in the workplace, wherever we are, our light is to shine. We're to honor Christ. We're to live for Him. We fail. We ask forgiveness. We move on. We keep working at it. An example, or two examples, are given of this in Scripture. One example where Paul uses this very terminology has to do with contentment. Do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. He says, when we're not complaining as Christians in things that make other people complain, then we have the opportunity to be light. The one who says he's in the light and yet hates his brother is the one who is in darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, for there is no cause for stumbling in him. You and I are to love each other, and our love of each other according to God's Word. According to 1 Corinthians 13. Loving each other according to 1 Corinthians 13. We are to love each other. And that's how we shine as light. That's Jesus, what Jesus calls us to be. Who He calls us to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would work in every one of our hearts here, that all of us would be those who would this morning believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, if anyone is not, as Lord and Savior, and recognize that He is the light. Lord, work in all of our hearts. And Lord, work in the hearts of all those who have come to Christ for as the light. Lord, help us. Help us to see the beauty with which You clothe us. Help us to see the calling that we have. And give us Your grace, just as You clothe us with Your righteousness by grace. Empower us by Your Holy Spirit, just like Melissa's saying. Empower us that we might be light in Your world and to one another. In Jesus' name, Amen.